What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 282 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here, NFL recap from week number 10. Now, I've said a few times that I might skip a week and then give y'all my offensive and defensive player of the week from the previous week alongside, you know, the week that I'm recapping. So I'm going to do that on this episode as well because, again, week 10 just wrapped up. And obviously, I'm going to give my predictions for week 11. But I'm also going to give y'all my offensive and defensive player of the week from week 9 also and week 10. As we get into week 11. I know I just said a lot right there, so hopefully y'all caught up. Hopefully it didn't go over y'all heads. But listen, this past weekend of football was just amazing. It was just like it was just amazing. Some amazing football took place. And again, I'm not going to do a whole recap of week number 10. I'm not going to do that. But what I will do is just speak off the cuff and just speak off of what I was very much impressed with this past weekend. And the first thing I want to say is I had this conversation with one of my coworkers yesterday. Shout out to my boy Josiah, big Minnesota Vikings fan. I'm in my room cleaning. You know, I'm doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm cleaning the rooms, getting the patients ready to come in. You know, getting making sure the room is clean for the next patient that's, you know, having to stay at the hospital. And he comes to me. And he just stares at the, he just stands by the edge of the bed. He's waiting for me to get his attention. And I turn around because I saw him on the corner of my eye. So I turn around, and then he says to me, "Do you believe now? Do you believe now? Does my team get any respect now?" So, Josiah, as you are a fellow Minnesota Vikings fan, to my man Flush, the Flush one, my man out there in Philly, to my big homie KSAP from Simply Ball Dropping, the reason why I'm shouting y'all out is because y'all are Minnesota Vikings fans. I can now say with all sincerity that they have earned my respect so far this season. They have earned my respect this season. The Minnesota Vikings, I was waiting for them to have that marquee game. I was waiting for that moment. I was waiting for it because, I mean, let's be real. In recent weeks, they've had comeback victories. They've had comeback victories in a lot of their games as of late. This one against Buffalo was no different. But see, this was the game here that, in my honest opinion, that, okay, I saw them, what their record was. They were 7-1 at the time. So I'm saying to myself, okay, they're playing Buffalo this weekend. Is they really the real deal as we say they are? Because for the football aficionados out there, when they talked about the top football teams this year, it was always Philly, Buffalo, Kansas City, and I'm trying to think of the other team. Okay, Buffalo, Kansas City, Philly. I think that might have been the three teams. Nobody spoke about Minnesota. Even with them having the record that they had, nobody was really speaking about them that much. You know what I'm saying? For them to have the game that they had, for them to be getting dog walked the way they was, because remember, they was getting dog walked at first. Third quarter, they was down 27-10. Now, going up to Buffalo, Bills Mafia, being down that much points, any other team probably would have said, you know what? Let's throw this in. We lost. Let's get ready for next week. No, not Minnesota. The defense showed up. Kirk Cousins showed up. I'm going to give him his props this game. I am going to give him his props. Even though he did throw two interceptions. But when they needed him to step up the most, which was in that second half, he showed up. Listen, Justin Jefferson might have had, for me, this ain't no might. I truly believe that this was the catch of the year. I definitely believe this was the catch of the year. It was the catch of the year because of the situation that he was in, trying to catch the ball. And then you got to remember, that was a fourth down. He misses that catch. Game's over. Buffalo wins. And for him to be in that situation in crunch time and make that catch the way he caught it and keep the drive going and to lead Kansas, and then to lead Minnesota into a touchdown and then obviously a field goal and all that other good shit to lead them to victory, that is by far the catch of the season. But what I was very much impressed with was how they didn't roll over and die. They did not roll over and die. And I honestly think this was the game that they said to themselves, you know what? We want to put our stamp on getting the respect that we deserve in this league. And I think they've gotten it now. I think that they've now have gotten it because honestly, disclaimer, I picked them to win this game. But I'm not going to lie to y'all. I only picked them because I had the notion that Josh Allen wasn't playing. Because obviously he got injured last week against the Jets. So I'm thinking, okay, he's probably not going to play. Because they're saying it's an elbow injury. It's quite similar to Tommy John. So he might have to sit out. You know, they're going to run some tests and shit like that. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's not going to play. So, okay, let me pick Minnesota. But the fact that they didn't roll over and die and came back and won this game and then the way that they won, this was probably the best game of the season. The best game of the season. Because there was a time that you thought Buffalo might have been able to pull this one off. There was a time when you thought Buffalo might have pulled this shit off. What was it? I believe it was a fourth down goal line where all Buffalo had to do was stop their goal line stance. The game was over. They stopped them. Bills Mafia goes in the uproar. You got players taking off their helmets. Nobody got flagged, but that's neither here nor there because that's quite different than what happened in, the Carolina-Atlanta game a few weeks ago, but we ain't going to talk about that. And then the next play, immediately after that, the next play, instead of Buffalo saying, you know what, let me just take the safety and then have our defense go out there and stop them, they fumbled the ball. Inside the 1 yard line, Josh Allen fumbles the ball, and then Minnesota just picks it up and gets the touchdown. Crazy to think about, huh? Crazy to think about. To the point that where Buffalo now has the lead. Minnesota has the lead. Then Buffalo has to go down the field, get a quick field goal. Game goes into overtime. Minnesota gets a field goal, a 33-yard field goal. And then Josh Allen, the next possession, throws an interception in the end zone. I believe it was to Patrick Patrick Peterson, or Patterson, I think his last name is. Hopefully I got it right. And then, bam, game is over. All that talk, because for weeks, when we thought about MVP candidates, one of them was Josh Allen. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, right? Jalen Hurts to a degree. I think after this game, Josh Allen has now been taken out of the MVP conversation. Because let's keep it tall. These last three weekends of football for Josh Allen has been a struggle. He didn't play that well against Green Bay because I remember that game. I was at my dad's house watching that game. He didn't even play well that game. He threw two interceptions in that game, okay? We then get to the Jets, which was an upset, okay? He throws two interceptions in that game. Didn't even throw a touchdown. And then we get to this past weekend against the Minnesota Vikings. So in 3 weeks... In 3 weeks, Josh Allen has had 3 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. That's in 3 weeks. And this is who y'all think is the MVP? Is he being exposed to a degree now? Because let's be real, it was so much hype around him. It was so much hype around this Buffalo team. When the season first started, everybody was saying, oh, Buffalo's going to the Super Bowl, this, that, and the third. I'm not going to lie. I was one of those people. My Super Bowl prediction was Buffalo, Tampa. That was my Super Bowl prediction. That's looking very shaky right now at this point. Very much. Very much shaky. Me personally, I think Buffalo dropped the ball with that. Simply ball dropping. You see how I did that, KSAP? They dropped the ball. This was a game that they were supposed to win. All they had to do
in my opinion, because being that you're so far back close to your end zone, just take the safety. Take the safety. Let them get their 2 points. Put your defense back out there, because it wasn't like it, because it wasn't like your defense was playing bad. You still got Von Miller out there. And he was getting that Kirk Cousins. Put your defense back out there. Let your defense win you the game. And you fumble the ball inside your end zone. So not only did you throw 2 interceptions, you also caused the fumble that, yeah. He's out the MVP conversation. Let's just get that over with now. Let's just stop pacifying it. Let's just stop babying him. Yeah, he's out the MVP conversation. But salute to the Minnesota Vikings, though. I definitely want to give them their props. I definitely want to give them their props. And yes, they have earned my respect right now this season with this victory. Now, can they keep it up? Let's see. Okay. Tampa Bay. I had watched this game. It was on the NFL Network. Germany. What a place. Because to watch that game and to hear the fans be so engaged with that game was amazing. Like, when they say that the NFL is a global game, it's definitely a global game. They got a game that's going to be in Mexico City this weekend. I think they've had 2 games in London this season. And now they had this game in Germany. Tampa Bay is now back at 500. They're now 5-5 after beating the Seahawks. Which, if you asked anybody before this game started who they thought was going to win, everybody was emphatically saying the Seahawks. I honestly think, in my honest opinion, even though they scored 21 points, I think this was probably, just by eye test, the best game that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have played this season. Now, yes, they have 5 wins, okay? They have 5 wins. The first one was against the Cowboys. Then it was against the Saints. They played Atlanta. They won that. They could have lost that. Last weekend, it basically took them all the way to the last few minutes to actually want to play some football and do something on offense to win that game. But this game here, from the offensive side of the ball and the defense, was probably their best game of the season. Because Tom Brady didn't really have to do, they really did not have to rely on Brady that much this game. And the reason being was because the running game finally woke up and smelt the coffee. The running game had 160 plus yards this game. Leonard Fournette had his close to 60 yards. White, this is just my opinion. And this is coming from a Tom Brady guy. So obviously, I got to support Tampa because he plays for them. I'm not going to say I'm a Buccaneer fan, but being that Brady is there, I got to ride with them. From the outside looking in, if White can run this way every game, and Leonard Fournette has moments like this, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team can go back to what they was last year and then the year Brady first got there. It could be a threat in the NFC. Chris Godwin looked like the old Chris Godwin this past weekend. He looked like the old Chris Godwin before he tore his ACL. Got a touchdown. Mike Evans. Mike Evans is Mike Evans, okay? Now, in prior weeks, he was dropping passes. Very unlikely of him. Didn't have that problem this past weekend. Julio Jones woke up. This was his best game as a Buccaneer this season. By far, this was his best game. And when he caught that shallow cross from Brady, he, man, listen, he put the gas on them legs so he can get in that end zone. It's like he was desperate to get in that end zone and score a touchdown. And I was very impressed to see that. Listen, for people out there that say Tom Brady can't throw anymore, he was throwing darts out there. Bullets. Whether it was to Julio Jones, whether it was to Chris Godwin, whether it was to Auden, the tight end, to Scotty Miller, he was throwing laser darts out there. Now, obviously we know what's been going on in his personal life. The divorce with him and Giselle has been finalized. Now, I don't want to be the one to say, oh, maybe it was a blessing in disguise, because let's call it what it is. Since the marriage has been finalized, Tampa Bay is now 2-0, okay? Prior to that, Brady was going through what he was going through, screaming at the O-line, playing not to his standards. Because, I got to call a spade a spade. Yes, he's the GOAT. Huge Tom Brady fan. Y'all know that. But if I'm going to praise him when he wins, I got to get at you when you lose. There's no sugarcoating over here. There's too much of that on TV as it is where they baby Tom Brady. It's like they're afraid to call him out for his performance. Like they're close friends with him. And if they say something bad about him, he's not going to be friends with them no more. Well, he don't know me personally. So I can say whatever the fuck I want. When you win, I'm going to brag about it. And when you lose and you was the reason on why they lost, I got to get at you. And some of these games that they've lost this season was at the hands of Tom Brady. And some games that they won this season was at the hands of Tom Brady. And this victory against the Seahawks, some of it was at the hands of Tom Brady. Throwing the darts, keeping the chains moving. Listen, they converted on a lot of their third downs. And that was also key to them winning this game. But I want to give props to the Seahawks. I really do. Because they made it very interesting in the second half. Because at halftime, the score was what? 21-3 in the fourth quarter. Any other team would have said, okay, let's pack it up. Let's get ready for the next week. Not Seattle. Seattle came back and they fought. It got to the point where Tampa got so fancy, they put Tom Brady at wide receiver and Leonard Fournette try to throw him a touchdown pass. Like, I don't know what it is with them and trying to throw passes at Tom Brady, because we all remember the Philly special they tried to do in the Super Bowl a few years ago, and Brady couldn't even catch the ball. To the point where Philly said, okay, we're going to show y'all how to do this. Nick Foles, get in position. We're going to do this Philly special. We're going to show them how it's done. And then you got this situation where Leonard Fournette tried to throw Brady a pass, and Brady slips, and the defensive back catches the interception, and then Brady trips him so he doesn't go anywhere, and then gets a 15-yard penalty for it. But the Seahawks did come back and fight in this game, so we got to give them props for that. We still got to give them props for that, okay? But again, Tampa is now 5-5. They have a full game lead on the Falcons for the division lead in the NFC South. Again, since this divorce has been official, since it's been finalized, Tampa is now 2-0. And now they have a bye week. So now they got an extra week to go back, check the film, see where they can get better at this, see where they can get better at that. So now they got another week, a full week of rest to get players back healthy. Who knows? Maybe Tampa could turn the table and become that valuable threat that we all thought was possible. Because listen, at the end of the day, you still got Brady. You still got the GOAT. So anything is possible. You still got the GOAT, okay? Now let's get to the game of the week. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because that's what Fox likes to label those games, the game of the weeks, like the afternoon games, Packers and Cowboys. Man, oh, what a game this was. What a game this was. Listen, I think Buffalo and Minnesota was the game of the year. I truly think it was. This Cowboys-Packers game was dope as well. From start to finish. From Dallas, you know, from the Cowboys having a quick 14-7 lead, Dak turning the ball over two times, Aaron Rodgers fumbling the ball, all of that shit. This game was still a good game. Aaron Rodgers, listen, I get that he only had 224 yards. I get that. Usually, Aaron Rodgers, he's close to 300, mid-250. He was throwing some good passes out there. And with him having the problems that he had with his receivers this season, this past weekend, you would have thought he was having no problems with his receiver. Because Watson, we all remember him, the touchdown pass against, well, the supposed to be touchdown pass against Minnesota the first game of the season. I don't know if that messed up his psyche leading up to this game, but he made up for it this game. He made up for it this game. Three touchdowns, 107 yards. He tortured that Cowboys secondary. He tortured that Cowboys defense. Okay? Aaron Jones. And Dylan, for that matter. Equaled up to 203 rushing yards for the Green Bay Packers. Now, the same thing could be said for Green Bay that could be said for Tampa. If the running game is consistent, you take that pressure off of your two legendary quarterbacks. You get the play action involved. You get all this other shit involved. It makes the game easier for the Packers in Tampa. You don't have to rely on Aaron Rodgers to do that much work. Even though he had three touchdown passes, he did fumble the ball. I did mention that earlier. Listen, I picked the Cowboys to win this game. I truly picked them. I did pick them to win this game, but I'm not mad that they lost because to see the sad posts on my Facebook page when the Cowboys lose to the fans that actually have the balls and don't hide when they lose, I respect it. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I truly believe that Tony Pollard should be the Dallas Cowboys starting running back for the rest of the season. Even when Zeke comes back. Because, see, for me, it's like that Cowboys running game is a lot more elusive when he's in that backfield as opposed to Zeke. Now, Cowboy fans, if y'all listening to this, maybe y'all could agree with me. CeeDee Lamb probably played his best game as a Dallas Cowboy. 150 yards, two touchdowns. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Had they won, he might have been my offensive player of the week. But since they lost, I don't care what your numbers was. If your team didn't get the win, I can't put you in. I can't give you player of the week. I can't. You can have amazing numbers. If your team didn't get that dub, I can't do it. I can't do it. But let's get to the elephant in the room. And that would be Mike McCarthy's play calling and Dak Prescott's inability to convert on third down and fourth down. Now, I made a post. I was really joking about this post. I asked Cowboy fans, did they miss Cooper Rush being that Dak Prescott was not taking care of the ball and not converting on third and fourth down. I looked up a stat, and they said that his third down and fourth down conversion, his completion percentage for a single season, he is 4 for 12 and 2 interceptions on third down and fourth down in that game against Green Bay. The only other person that had a lower percentage than that on third and fourth down since 2011 was Tim Tebow. For you to be in that same category with him, and we already knew for a fact he couldn't throw for shit, for you to be in that conversation with him, with the money that Jerry Jones done paid you, and listen, we all thought Dak was probably the premier quarterback in that division. Don't look that way this season. It don't look that way this season. He's looking very shaky out there. Very shaky out there. Mike McCarthy, he thought that he was going back to Green Bay and he was going to get his dub. And if you let history tell it, when the Cowboys was up 14 points going into the fourth quarter, they won that game. Well, now they got a one on that record. And it just so happens, Mike McCarthy's old team was the team that gave him that one. Remember when Paul Heyman was always talking about Brock Lesnar is going to be the one and one on Undertaker's undefeated WrestleMania streak? Well, guess what? The Packers is now that one for the Cowboys when they're up 14 points going into the fourth quarter. Me personally, when this game went into overtime and when the Cowboys decided to go for it on that 4th and 3, as much as they talked about this Cowboys defense, me personally, I wouldn't have went for it on 4th down. I just wouldn't have. I wouldn't have went for it. I would have punted it and let my defense go out there and make something out of it. Because with all this talk about this defense, Michael Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, what's the other linebacker name? Wolf Hunter, I think that's his nickname. Let them go out there and show you something. And what do they do? 4th and 3, Dak doesn't make anything happen. And then the next possession, what does Aaron Rodgers do? Throws a quick slant pass, I think, to Lazard, get it in field goal range, kick the field goal, game's over, Dallas loses. But this was a game that the Packers desperately needed. Because had they lost this game, game's over. Season's over. Season's over. They lose this game, season's over. There is no playoffs. They still got a shot, though. They still got a shot. They still have a shot, believe it or not. But had they lost this game, oh, yeah, season is over. Season is over for sure, had they lost this game. The Rams lost this weekend. Their season is over. There is no playoffs for them. They're 3-6. There's no playoffs for them at all. Okay? The Saints lost this weekend to the Steelers. They're 3-7. There's no playoffs for them. See, the reason why I mentioned those two teams is because it was a lot of expectations for them this season. People had Green Bay winning. People had the Rams winning their division. A la myself. People had the Saints probably winning their division or getting a wild card. I thought they would get a wild card. That's not happening this season. Like a lot of teams that we thought was going to do some shit this season, it ain't panning out for them. It's not panning out for them. It's not. It's just not panning out for them. The Chargers. It was a lot of expectation for the Chargers. 5-4. You had some people saying, oh, they might be a threat to Kansas City. They might beat Kansas City this season. They might have a better record than Kansas City. They might take the division from the Chiefs. Ain't looking like that this season. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Philly losing against the Washington Commanders. Now, I don't want to say maybe it had something to do with the reports coming out that Hov, Jay-Z, and Jeff Bezos is interested in buying the Washington Commanders from Daniel Snyder. I don't want to say that that boosted up the Commanders' confidence and energy to pull the ultra upset in Philly. But honestly, in my opinion, I think this loss might have been the best thing to happen to the Eagles. I honestly do. Because now they don't have to worry about, oh, the expectations of going undefeated. They don't have to worry about it no more. They got to work on their run defense, though. I'll tell you that much. Like, if it's one Achilles heel with this Eagles defense, it's that their run defense is horrible. Washington ran for over 150 yards on the ground against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, I just said he was in the MVP conversation, did I not? I think he takes a few notches. I think he takes a few levels down with this loss. This wasn't the Eagles that we were familiar with seeing this season. Because, I mean, let's be real. Listen, for most people, nobody was really taking Philly this serious anyway because they're like, who have they played? Like, okay, they were 8-0 prior to their loss to Washington, but you had a lot of people out there saying, oh, who they played? Who they played? They played the Jaguars, they played the Cardinals. Probably their only, this is not me saying this, this is what the outside people were saying. The only formidable win that they had was against Dallas. Nobody took the Vikings serious when the season first started, when they beat them on Monday Night Football. Because I know for a fact, I didn't take them serious. So for a lot of people out there, you ask them about this loss to Washington, they going to feel like, oh, Philly got exposed. That's what y'all get for putting them on that pedestal. We knew they was front running. We knew they was overrated. That's what a lot of people right now are saying about this Philly team. And the only way that they could fix that is this past weekend and they go to Indianapolis and they do some damage and get back on the winning track. Because you got a lot of people out there right now basically saying they're exposed. But we gonna see. We are definitely going to see. But listen, this past weekend of football was amazing. And I'm glad I was off this past weekend so I was able to watch it. Now, it's unfortunate that this weekend I have to work. So hopefully the games ain't that good because I'm not going to be able to enjoy them at the rate that I was able to watch them this past weekend. Sat in my room, in my PJs, in my Rockaway robe. My tube socks over the pajama pants on the bottom. Kick my feet up in my recliner chair and was just able to watch the games. Won't be able to do that this weekend because I have to work this weekend. But, yep, that's my recap from week number 10. So I am going to take a quick break. And when your boy comes back, I am going to give my offensive and defensive player of the week awards from week 9 and week 10. And then we're going to get into my picks for week 11. So this is your boy Dre Day, Sportswear with Dre Day podcast, episode 282. Your boy will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
It's time for Dre Day's offensive and defensive players of the week. Lovely.
What time it is? It's time for Dre Day Weekly's picks.
What up, what up, what up? Your boy is back. It is now time for Dre Day's offensive and defensive player of the week awards. Now remember, I skipped a week. There was no episode for week 9. There was no recap. So I'm going to give my offensive and defensive player of the week for that week as well as this past weekend. And with that being said, Dre Day's offensive and defensive player of the week for week 9 on offense, I had Joe Mixon. Okay? Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals. Played an amazing game. Amazing game. Went crazy. I had to go with him. I had to go with Mixon. Now, granted, it was against the Panthers. But 5 touchdowns, 4 rushing, 1 receiving, 150 plus yards. And I might add, you had close to 60 yards receiving. So that's damn near 200 plus yards from scrimmage. I had to give it to him. Pause. I had to give him offensive player of the week for week 9. On the defense, I went to Baltimore and I gave it to Justin Houston of the Baltimore Ravens. I gave it to him. He had an interception. Now, granted, 3 tackles, but he definitely caused some fumbles. He did his thing out there. So I definitely had to give it to him on the defensive side of the ball. Now let's go to week 10. The week that just passed. Now, like I said, if CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys would have won, he would have been my definitive offensive player of the week. But they lost. So I had to give it to another wide receiver. And this wide receiver, after the weekend commenced and all the games was played, I knew right off the rip who I was giving my offensive player of the week award to. And that would be none other than Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, yes, he played a great game. And he put up some good numbers. 193 yards, 1 touchdown. But I need y'all to go to YouTube and just put his name in. I guarantee you, the catch that he made against Buffalo on that 4th down to convert and keep that drive going, that's going to be the first thing that you see. With a catch like that and the numbers that you put up and y'all win the game. Because again, those are the 3 factors that I go with. The numbers that he put up, the situation that he was in to make that catch, and they won the game. Remember, you have to win the game to get this number, to get this award. So even if he would have made this catch, which he did, and they would have lost, I wouldn't have been able to give him the award. I still say it's the catch of the year, but he wouldn't have won my Offensive Player of the Week award. Because you didn't finish the game the way you were supposed to. You didn't reach the ultimate destination, and that's win the game. In the words of Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. I'm pumped to say that because he's back on ESPN now, so that shit was dope. So shout out to you, Coach Herm. Shout out to you. But yes, he is my offensive player of the week for week 10. And then we get to defense. I went to Tampa and gave it to Devin White. Played a great game against the Seattle Seahawks. Great game against the Seahawks. He basically showed why, in my opinion, I think he's the anchor of that Tampa Bay defense, especially, you know, when it comes to that, especially when it comes to that linebacker core. He definitely showed why he's the anchor of that defense. 9 tackles, 2 sacks. He did his thing. He definitely did his thing. So I definitely wanted to give him his flowers and have him win defensive player of the week. So again, for week 9, Joe Mixon of the Bengals on offense. On defense, I had Justin Houston of the Baltimore Ravens. Week 10, Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings. And on defense, Devin White of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now it is time that we go to my picks for this upcoming week, which is week number 11. Last week, I went 8-6. Now, the 3 weeks prior to that, I had no more than 5 losses. Week 7, I was 10-4. Week 8, I was 10-5. Week 9, I was 9-4. This past week, I was 8-6. The Bears fucked me over by losing to the Lions. The Raiders fucked me over by losing to the Colts. Listen, let me speak on this real quick. And listen, I did not even want to get into this. I just wanted to go straight into my picks. But it's a good thing I do this because then I can speak on some of the games that I didn't really recap. So now I'm going to go on my bag when it comes to the Raiders losing to the Colts. The Raiders should be ashamed of themselves. Okay? And the reason why they should be ashamed of themselves is because this is no knock to the Colts. They were sitting on house money. Nobody expected them to win this game. You got Jeff Saturday, who was working at ESPN. He knows Jim Irsay, close friends with him. No experience at coaching except at high school. Gets the coaching job. Gets a lot of flack for it. Me personally, I had no problem with him getting the job. But I did. But in a way, I kind of did have a problem. But not with him. Not with him. It's once again, this Rooney Rule that they talk about, they need to just throw that out because there's no such thing. Okay? There's no such thing. But for the Raiders, you bring in Josh McDaniels, right? This is someone who's been a head coach at Denver. Didn't do well there. Goes to New England, has all his success as an offensive coordinator. So being that he's a part of Belichick's family tree, he gets a head coaching job with the Indianapolis Colts. The next day, he reneges on that and says, oh no, I'm not going to coach them. I'm going to go back to Foxborough and I'm going to help the Patriots win some more championships. Years down the line, he comes back, gets a head coaching job now with the Raiders. They lose nobody. They gained somebody, which was Devontae Adams. You still had Derek Carr. You still had Jacobs. You still had Crosby on defense. I mean, Chandler Jones is nowhere to be found, but that's neither here nor there. You still had a defense. This team is not playing with the fire that they had last year. Now, the coach that they had last year, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. They played with so much funk. They played with so much spunk under him last season. Why are they not doing it under Josh McDaniels? This is another clear case of white privilege. Another clear case. This is another clear case of it right here. A coach who has no business being a head coach. He's masquerading as a head coach. Josh McDaniels is not a head coach. He is an offensive coordinator. He is great at that. Or maybe he was just great because of who his quarterback was. Because obviously, look at his stay in Denver. How did that go? You didn't have Brady. You didn't have Belichick. How'd that pan out for you? You try to go to Indianapolis. Oh, wow. I'm not going to have Brady. I'm not going to have Belichick. Let me renege on this shit and let me go back to Foxborough. He goes back to Foxborough, wins a few more championships. Who was under that tutelage? Who was under that umbrella? Belichick, Brady. He now comes to the Raiders. He ain't got neither one of them. And now look at the Raiders. There's no playoffs for them neither. Guess what? There was a lot of expectations for them. It was a lot of expectations for this Raiders team. Especially when Devontae made the decision to leave Green Bay and then join forces with his college teammate, Derek Carr. Derek Carr was the whack one that played for the Texans years ago. But that's neither here nor there. I felt bad for David Carr. I felt bad for him in his post-game interview. The man poured his heart out. He spilt his guts. Even was crying at that podium talking about this Raiders team. Basically saying that there's some players on this team. He didn't mention no names. He felt that some players are not all in on this team. I think those players need to go, and I think Josh McDaniels need to go. That's just my honest opinion. But yeah, that loss fucked me over too. The Eagles, whoa, that was the upset. Listen, I think everybody got a loss. Listen, if you're not from D.C., you better not tell me that you didn't pick the Eagles. Unless you from D.C., you can't tell me that you picked the Commanders to beat the Eagles because I'm not believing you at all. But enough of that. Let's get into these picks for week number 11. We got a good one starting off. Thursday night football. We got the Packers and the Titans. Can the Packers spin the block and win two in a row at home? Can they spin the block? Which is crazy because they're going up against a team that's one of the top teams in run defense. But they're also going against one of the teams that's the worst in pass offense. So they could stop the run, but it's looking like Aaron Rodgers might light a fire under them too. I'm picking the Packers. I'm going with the Packers to defend home field. I believe they go on a two-game winning streak and they beat the Tennessee Titans. Look, all they have, listen, all this, listen, and I get it. Green Bay has suffered a lot of losses on their defense. I think like two linebackers is out for the rest of the season with injuries. If their secondary can have an encore performance like they did against Dallas, they might could win this game. And the key to that is stopping Derrick Henry. First of all, let me change that. You can't stop him. But you can contain him. Remember NBA Street? Oh, you can't stop his airness. You can only hope to contain it. Well, hopefully they can contain his running. Because you're not going to stop King Henry. Let's get that out the way. But if you can contain him, then it's an easy win. Because I don't trust Tannehill if he even plays. I don't trust the backup. So, yeah, I'm going with Green Bay to win this game. I'm going with the Green Bay Packers to win against the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football. Now, let's get to the games on Sunday. We got the Bears and we got the Falcons. Justin Fields has been showing out for the past few weeks. I'm not even going to lie. Atlanta is playing in the A. Something told me not to pick them in week 9 against the Panthers. Week 10 against the Panthers. Something told me not to pick them. And I was right. I'm glad I didn't pick them. Because I just didn't trust them. This weekend, it's in the A. And Justin Fields has been playing very impressive. I'm not going to lie. I don't know, man. They let me down against the Lions, man. I ain't even gonna hold you. They let me down against the Lions. But this is what we're gonna do. This is what we're gonna do. Since it's in Atlanta, I am going to go with the Falcons only because it is in the A. Okay? I'm going with the Falcons only because it's in Atlanta. Next, we got, who we got next? Who we got next? We got the Browns and we got the Bills. They're talking about it's going to be snow this weekend in Ocho Park. They're talking about it's going to be in the mid-20s. They're talking about 2 to 4 inches of snow. That means you can make angels. You can make an angel in the snow. Now, I know it snows in Cleveland, but I don't think it snows like it snows in Buffalo. Deshaun Watson has been practicing with the Browns now, being that his suspension is almost over. He's not playing this game, but in a few weeks he will be. I think the Bills right the wrong from last weekend. Listen, they're already riding a 2-game losing streak. I don't expect them to lose 3 in a row, and I definitely don't expect them to lose 2 games in a row at home. So I'm going with the Buffalo Bills to beat the Cleveland Browns. Next, we got the Eagles and the Colts. The Colts played with a lot of spunk this past weekend. Granted, it was against the Raiders. Jonathan Taylor did his thing. Matt Ryan did his thing. That crowd in Indy is going to be rocking this past weekend. Jeff Saturday, who used to play for the Colts, very well loved in Indy. I believe he's on their Ring of Honor or something like that. Now you're going up against the Eagles, who just lost their first game. That's going to give the fans even more reason to turn out because you want to give them back-to-back losses. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I'm going with the Eagles. I think the Eagles right the wrong from letting that game not go their way against the Washington Commanders. And I think that they win Sunday. I'm going with the Eagles. Jets and Patriots. There's two divisions in the NFL that are intriguing. And it just so happened, both of those divisions is the East. You got the NFC East and you got the AFC East. Both divisions, not one team has a losing record. You either have a team that's 2 losses, 1 loss, 3 losses, or 1 game over 500, or tied with a 500 record. The Jets had a bye week, 6-3. Patriots, 5-4. In fact, I think both these teams are coming off of bye weeks, now that I think about it. I think both of them are coming off of bye weeks. Does the Jets get payback for what happened a few weeks ago at MetLife? Do they get payback? Listen, the Patriots have owned the Jets in recent years. They have. Sauce Gardner, I think, is rookie of the year on defense by far. And it's not even close. I don't trust Zach Wilson. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to go with the Patriots. Listen, the last time they played each other, I picked the Jets. And Zach Wilson fucked me over on that one because he was the reason why they lost that game. He ain't fucking me over this time. I'm going with the Patriots to beat the New York Jets in Foxborough. Next, we got the Rams and the Saints. Two teams that we thought were playoff bound, and it's looking like neither one of them is going. Matthew Stafford, I believe, is in concussion protocol, I think. Saints, Rams. This game here, I really don't know what I'm going with. Honestly, I don't know. I honestly do not know. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to go with the Saints. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to go with the Saints. The Rams are done anyway, so it really doesn't matter at this point. Next, we got the Lions and the Giants. I'm going with the Giants, man. Listen, I am very impressed with this Giants team. 7-2. Saquon is basically carrying this team by himself. Daniel Jones is doing his thing. We're going into the 11th week, and you only got 8 touchdown passes. But he's not turning the ball over. 2 interceptions. He's not losing fumbles. He's taking care of the ball. So for that aspect, okay, I give him that. So I'm going with the Giants to beat the Lions. We got the Ravens against the Panthers. I'm going with the Ravens. The Panthers are going back to Baker Mayfield. Oh, no, I just read that it says they expect Matthew Stafford to start on Sunday. So with that being said, I'm going to change my pick, and I'm going to go with the Rams. Just did an addendum. I'm picking the Rams to beat the Saints. Now that I just saw that Matthew Stafford is going to play against the Saints. I got the Ravens to beat the Panthers. I don't care how much respect John Harbaugh is trying to show to Baker Mayfield. I think that's just, you know, PR talk. I don't think he really has respect for Baker Mayfield like that as a quarterback, because I know for a fact I don't. So I'm going with the Ravens to win. Next, we got the Commanders and the Texans. I'm going with the Commanders. This might be a trap game, if anything. But I'm going to go with the Commanders. I think even if Carson Wentz is cleared to play, I think they need to stick with Taylor Heinicke, in my honest opinion. And I think Chase Young is going to be back this weekend, too. So that'll be a good look for the Washington Commanders to get him back on the football field. Next, we got the Raiders and the Broncos. Honestly, this game here, I have no idea what I'm going with. I honestly don't know. I don't trust Denver. I damn sure don't trust the Raiders, but I'm going to go with the Broncos. I'm going to go with the Broncos. I'm going to go with Denver. Cowboys and Vikings. I know for a fact this game will be on TV. It's saying CBS, so that means I got to hear Romo make his predictions on what plays are going to be. I respect him, but damn, come on. I keep saying this. It amazes me on how great he is as a color commentator than he ever was a quarterback, but that's neither here nor there. Yo, this game here, I honestly don't know who I'm going with. I honestly don't know. This could be a trap game for Minnesota. It really can be. They could be riding high from that game beating Buffalo, and then stink up the joint against the Cowboys? I honestly don't know. I honestly have no idea who I'm going with this game. I honestly have no idea. But this is what we're going to do. I already said I have respect for the Vikings. I have already said that. I've said they earned my respect. So for this weekend, I am going to trust that they want to keep my respect. So I'm going to pick them to beat the Cowboys this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas won, though. But I just said I give the Vikings my respect. I would hope they don't want me to lose that respect by losing this game against the Cowboys. Next, we got the Steelers and the Bengals. I am going with the Bengals. Then we got Sunday Night Football. We got the Chiefs and the Chargers. I'm going with the Chiefs. Listen, division rivals. A lot of people had high hopes for the Chargers. Even though it's in SoFi, I don't think that they're going to win this game on Sunday Night Football. I think the Chiefs will win it. I think it'll be a close game. Don't get me wrong. Division rivals, it can go either way. But I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. And then on Monday Night Football, the game I say will be in Mexico City. We got the Niners and we got the Cardinals. And I am going with the Niners. I'm going with the Niners to win that game. So we got the Packers, Falcons, Bills, Eagles, Patriots, Rams, Giants, Ravens, Commanders, Broncos, Vikings, Bengals, Chiefs, and Niners. Those are my picks for week 11, and it is a wrap for this episode. But before I go, I have to give a shout out. Now, I haven't been doing this for a while, so it's good. I've skipped a few things, so I want to give a few shout outs, not just one. First, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Saturday. Now, I know he received a lot of flack, you know, getting the head coaching job with the Colts. I like Jeff Saturday. I will miss him on ESPN. I like his takes. I like the pancake thing that he did on Get Up, you know, because him being the offensive line and shit like that, always giving, you know, respect to his, you know, fellow linemen and whatnot. For him to win his first game against the Raiders on the road on a short week, and for him to galvanize that team and for them to win that game, he deserves a shout out. Definitely, he deserves a shout out. The second shout out. Now, this one is going to hurt because his team beat my Yankees in the ALCS. But I do love me some Dusty Baker. I want to shout him out because now he is a World Series champion as a manager. So I definitely wanted to give him his flowers. Now, yes, he coaches a team, he manages a team that I hate with a passion. But I've always had respect for him as a manager. From his days of managing with the San Francisco Giants to the Cubs, I've always had respect for him. Always. So I'm definitely going to give him his props for being a brother and winning a championship as a manager, even if it is with those damn Houston Astros. So those are my two shout-outs for... Oh, no. I got one more. WNBA. I want to give a shout-out to the Indiana Fever. The WNBA just did their lottery this past week to find out who will have the number one overall pick for the 2023 WNBA draft, and they have been rewarded it. So you know what that means. That means they are now in the Aliyah Boston sweepstakes. Because she is going to be the number one pick. Let's get that out the way right now. I think Minnesota has the number two pick. So it's safe to say that Haley Jones from Stanford will be going to Minnesota. And it's looking like Aliyah Boston from South Carolina will be the number one pick. So those are my shout outs for this episode. So once again, I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all can find your boy on all streaming platforms except Tidal. I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean. You can also download the Anchor app. I'm also on Amazon Music. You can find me on social media on Facebook, Dre Day. You can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Or you can find me on Twitter, DreDay1985. The links are in the bios for the podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Once again, thank y'all for y'all support. Stay safe. Be safe. This episode is over. Episode 282 is over. It is in the books. Signing off. Catch y'all on the flip side. Once again, be safe. Stay safe. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man, Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.